Reverend clergy and religious, and my dear friends in Christ, I do quite a lot of driving, as I'm sure many of you do. And this necessitates, of course, receiving directions. Not too long ago, I was asked to go to a convalescent home near downtown Boise and had never been there before and had been warned the GPS doesn't know what it's talking about. So you have to listen. So to take down the directions, which is something we don't have to do very often anymore. But it got me thinking, it's a good thing we have directions. It's a good thing we have those people that will give us directions that we can trust. And what a silly thought it would be to be given directions and then completely dismiss them. To say, well, I know the general direction, though I don't know the address, so, well, we'll see what happens. This would be foolhardy. You might get there, but probably not. How wonderful is it that Almighty God has given us all directions through His infallible church. The church cannot make mistakes in giving us directions for our eternal destination, which of course is heaven. But how often we ignore the directions or try to branch off and do our own thing. Like, oh, I think I know the way. Or I bet this will be a shortcut. I'm going to try to avoid the traffic and go that way. And we get ourselves into terrible trouble. We have to follow the directions given us by our Holy Mother, the Church. Not just hear them, not just have them there on paper, but do it. And that is what we are told in the epistle today of St. James. Be doers of the word. This is one of the more unfortunate truths in our spiritual life, in our pursuit of heaven. We know many things. We've heard them in sermons. We've read them in books. We know in our heart, we know from the conscience that God gave us. But we let the distractions of this world, the distractions that come from our own human nature, the distractions that come from the whisperings of the devil, get in our way of doing it, of actually following the directions. And so we have to get to it and be busy, follow the roadmap that has been laid out before us. And so what are some practical instructions, some practical directions that we need to follow? I'd like to use the example of a great saint whose feast the church celebrates tomorrow, and that's St. Philip Neri. St. Philip Neri is renowned as one of the great saints of the church. Of course, the church has many wonderful saints. St. Philip Neri is called the second apostle of Rome. Of course, the first apostle, St. Peter, went to Rome and there founded his holy see made Rome the center of Christendom. But by the time St. Philip Neri was born, this was in the Middle Renaissance, the world had experienced kind of a shift, what they call the Enlightenment. There had been a turn away from God. Many people had diverted from the path that had been so clearly marked out by the church. And they were concerned with worldly and human things. And you do see some fruit of these worldly endeavors. Art and music became quite rich, beautiful. But this was, in the greater part, the emphasis, and that was a problem. And so St. Philip Neri was a humble man born in Florence, not Rome. He eventually made his way to Rome, where he began doing good in a very simple way. He was not even a priest, he was just a layman. But he would just try to instigate good wherever he could manage. He would see a group of boys on a street corner doing nothing in particular, and he would go up and say, "Young men, what good are we going to do today?" And initiate a conversation and maybe help them hatch some plan of what they were going to do that day that was good. He began to be well known around Rome as this good and joyful little man. Buono Filippo, good Philip, they called him. His spiritual director saw that great good would come from his being ordained a priest. And so he convinced St. Philip to be a priest, and he was then ordained at the age of 35 years old, which is normally a little bit late in life to be ordained a priest. But St. Philip was ordained a priest, and the good, of course, only multiplied. People were drawn to him like flies to honey. And they saw in the wonderful holiness of St. Philip an image, as it were, of Christ, a roadmap, something that they wanted to follow. And through the miracle that is God's grace, this humble priest started to affect the entire world in a rather unassuming way. Again, it was because of his holiness. People were drawn to him. And this became true even of those residents of the Vatican. Bishops and cardinals started to seek out the humble apartment of St. Philip, where he trained them simply in the fervent love of God that is based upon humility. And so these men, many of them, would become cardinals and even popes. And so St. Philip Neri exercised an influence that was worldwide. And this is why he is known as the second apostle of Rome. But so appealing, so wonderful to behold, people would follow him. Why? because he followed Christ. He tried in every way to make himself like Christ. He began with, of course, humility, with mortification. He was determined to never pamper his body. But the thing that St. Philip is best known for is his radiant joy. Sometimes St. Philip is called the joyful saint. I've even heard on occasion St. Philip called the jolly saint. He is known well for his playfulness. He had a genius in combining two things that seem incompatible, penance and mortification, with fun and joy. He, on one occasion, it was the custom at the time in Rome for priests to wear beards, and on one occasion, he shaved exactly half of his face in order to be laughed at. People think that he was silly and foolish. There are several interesting accounts of his giving penances to his charges, which were gladly performed. One of them, an elderly cardinal who was very known for his learning, was charged by St. Philip as a penance to walk a couple of streets down and take care of a cat. He had to feed him and make sure that the cat was comfortable. And of course, to help this renowned, illustrious cardinal learn a little bit of humility. On one occasion, there was a cleric who was under the charge of St. Philip, who was struggling a little bit with vanity. He was a particularly good singer, and he wasn't sure if he wanted to continue in his clerical studies or go on to become a renowned singer. Well, St. Philip wanted him to practice a little humility too, and so he ordered him to go sing at a wedding. There was a couple being married who were also under the charge of St. Philip Neri. And so he ordered this very talented cleric to go to this wedding and sing the Miserere, which, of course, in Latin is have mercy, usually a funeral song. Everyone, of course, was edified, and I believe that the young cleric was mortified. But that was the point. Many other instances could be given about the life of St. Philip. But the message is clear. People were so eager to follow him because he was Christ-like. It was because of his holiness. It was not because of the fun and games they found in St. Philip. No, it was his seriousness, his holiness, his imitation of Jesus Christ. And so, my dear friends, let us be sure to follow the same roadmap. Christ needs to be our center, our everything, all that we do, all that we think, needs to be directed towards him. All of the questions that we have ought to be asked to him, or, of course, his most holy mother. And this is the last point I would like to make today, is from the Holy Gospel. Jesus says, "Amen, amen, I say to you, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you." If you ask anything in my name, he will give it to you. We have talked before of the qualities of prayer, what makes prayer good, efficacious, sure to be heard. We cannot be asking for selfish or useless things. God knows what is best for us. But if we ask for something we know absolutely, beyond the shadow of any doubt, that Christ also wants, will he not give it to us? He says, ask in my name and the Father will give it to you. Let us ask for a more perfect love and understanding of Jesus Christ. Let us ask for a clearer roadmap, a better understanding of the teachings of our faith, a more fervent desire to put into practice the tenets of our faith. Let us remember, too, he will give us anything we ask. But to continue on that analogy of a roadmap of driving, the answer to our prayer is going to be on the straight and narrow path. It is going to be found only if we are following God's holy will. If we are doing our very best to follow our Holy Mother, the Church, to keep our focus on Christ, then on this path we are sure to find the answers to our prayers. Let us ask our Blessed Mother for greater fervor in God's service, to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Let us ask St. Philip Neri, like him, to be fervent imitators of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.